Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you all today. And I've got a scripture to read that is sort of a disconcerting scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 11. And it says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Not a good scripture, is it? Let me read it again. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, he's a king, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified, or very frightened. The Israelites that it's talking about here is an army. The army of Israel. So here we have King Saul and his army terrified because they heard something that the Philistine had said. Now the Philistines were a barbarous people. They lived what we would call the Gaza Strip now. And the Israelites never attacked them. The Israelites never stole anything from them. However, the Philistines were continually attacking the Israelites, continually stealing their food, the harvest, continually. They were just a big problem, the Philistines. That's where we get the name Palestine from. You know the name Palestine? It comes from the word Philistines, because they occupied that territory on the western side of Israel there, right near the Mediterranean Sea. And a barbarous people they were. Saul's army, the king, he was the first king of Israel, had a modicum of success. Him and his son Jonathan and the army went out and fought against the Philistines, and they had a lot of success. Now, what I'm going to relate to you now is very much symbolic of our life in God. It's symbolic. So I want you to try and take this in. The Philistines were always attacking the Israelites. The Israelites were the people of God. Have you got that? You are the people of God. The Israelites in the Old Testament were God's people. And listen to what it says about their army. By the way, we are the people of God and we are the army of God. Yes. Amen? Yes. We're part of the Salvation Army. Yes. Amen? Yes. Come on, we are. Yes. Well, this is what was said about their army. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelite army were dismayed and terrified. That should be an oxymoron. Because we're talking about God's people. We're talking about God's army terrified. And what were they terrified of? The Philistines? Oh no. They'd come out to fight the Philistines. They had mustered a great army together, the Israelites, and they had come and camped on a hill. And there was another hill with a valley in between, the Valley of Elah. This hill is where the Philistines had camped. This hill is where the Israelites were camped. The Israelites were going to have a good go at the Philistines because the Philistines had been a pain in the neck to them, so they were really going to give it to them. They were sharpening their swords, getting their spears and their arrows ready and their daggers. And there was always in those days when the armies came together to fight each other, they always took a bit of time. They'd be singing in their camp victory songs so the other camp could hear them. So they would be trying to outdo each other before the battle started. That is a scene when all of a sudden they hear a voice coming from the valley. That's where they would have been fighting eventually, in the valley. The two armies would have come and fought each other. But they heard this voice, the voice of a Philistine coming down and abusing the Israelites, literally abusing them. And when they looked down into the valley, they saw this man, the size of which they had never seen before. He was huge. He was 9 foot tall. How many of you know that's a big man? He had an armor bearer with him, and the armor bearer would show by him being there how big the Philistine really was. His name was Goliath. You all know this. It's a well-known story. Goliath, the Philistine, stood there and abused him. And this is what he says. What's the point of us all fighting? Why don't you select one man to come down here and fight me? If he can win, then we will surrender to you and be your slaves. But if I win, then you surrender to us. Come on, this is easy. I defy you. I defy you. Send me a man who will fight me. So when they heard that, they thought, boy, who's going to go down then? I guess they all looked at each other. They looked at the best fighters amongst them. You know, they'd sort them all out. You know, those who've been trained really well to fight. And I'm not going. And one after the other. Saul was the tallest man in Israel. That was a king. He was a tall guy. Not as tall as this one, but he was tall. I guess their eyes were all on him. Do you know what he did? He went into his tent and closed it. That was it. He's gone. And Abner was the chief of the army. Abner was a lovely man, by the way. Abner was a good man. But even he wouldn't go. I mean, he was a fighter. Listen to this. This Philistine came down morning and evening and said the same thing. And it's now been going on for 40 days. 40 days he stands there and abuses them. 40 days he stands there and intimidates them. 40 days he stands there and just gives them, and they're just terrified. The whole army were dismayed and terrified. If you're dismayed, that means your joy is gone, your peace is gone, your zest for life is gone. They've stopped sharpening their swords. They've stopped preparing their arrows and daggers. They've stopped singing victory songs. No choruses. The musicians have given up. They're just sitting there dismayed. Morning and night he comes down and he defies them, and not one man comes out against them. How many of you found out, if you're a young Christian, you might not have found it out yet, but if you're an older Christian, you have. How many of you have found out that to be a Christian is tough? Come on, how many of you found that out? To be a Christian is hard going. You know, the Israelites were surrounded by enemies just as they are now. Israel, the nation of Israel, is surrounded by enemies. They want to destroy them or wipe them off the face. Well, it was like that then. These Philistines wanted to destroy them, wipe them off. If you're a Christian, it's tough. I once met this guy, went to the church I was pastoring in Arbor. Came to me because I was preaching about, you know, how much battling and fighting we have to do. And he came to me, he says, look, you've got it all wrong. He said, if you become a Christian, there should be no more fighting. I said, what? He said, that you are a conqueror, you are victorious, no more fighting, no more battles, no more warfare. That's what he said. I said, well, which Bible are you reading? It's not the one I am. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have trouble. But then he came out with this lovely expression, be of good cheer. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. Well, that was a bit hard, wasn't it? You're going to have it really hard. You're going to have it tough. You're going to have it all against you. You're going to have trouble in the world. But cheer up. That's what he said. I have overcome the world. You know if you're a Christian, it's tough. You know, if you're a Christian, it's hard. And there's always skirmishes and battles. Always is. That's why Paul says, put on the whole armor of God so you could take your stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all, stand. We know as Christians, we have battles. We know as Christians, there are those who want to torment us. Christians are persecuted all over the world. All over the world. And if you're a Christian, you're not a liked person if you're standing for your faith. You're not. So what I'm trying to say is we all have skirmishes many, many times. Almost every day something's happening, but we overcome. Because we're a good army. Well, I am. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You're still here. I've been coming to this church now. How long have I been coming here, Pastor Pamela? 11 years. Yeah, 10, 12 years. And some of you were here when I first came. You're still here. 12 years later, you're still here. What are you doing here? Because you're overcoming. Come on. You, the skirmishes that come to you, you're overcoming those skirmishes. So we all understand how we battle. By the way, the Bible teaches us that we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Three formidable enemies. The world, we understand. The devil, we understand. And the flesh. The flesh means you, yourself. You battle yourself. Come on, your biggest problem is you. Yes. Say this after me. I am my biggest problem. It is the truth. Yes. You're a bigger problem than the devil is. You're a bigger problem than the world is. Because we have problems. Okay, we've battled them. However, the Israelites were having skirmishes with the Philistines, and it had been going on for a long, long time, way before Saul was king. But the Israelites were overcoming. The Israelites were conquering little by little until this happened. Suddenly, there was a giant. And can I say this to you? Every now and again in your life, you'll get a giant. Not the everyday skirmishes of the Philistines. I'm talking about somebody who'll come out of the Philistine ranks that's going to be a giant against you. And that's what my message is about this morning. And I've titled my message, What is a Giant in Your Life? Twice the Israelites faced giants. They faced the giants coming into the promised land and the sons of Anak. And they were people, they were a race of people that was possibly around about 7 feet tall. Big people. But they overcame them. And then the second time they faced the giants was here. Goliath, who was 9 feet tall, who had brothers. And you know the story. David slew Goliath, and David's men slew the brothers as well later on. But this guy came, and Israel froze. Because in their mind, none of us can fight this man. Look at the size of him. Look at the armor. The armor he's got, they couldn't even carry it. It was so heavy. He had a spear that could thrust 5 or 6 through in one hit. He was called the champion of the Philistines. And all the Philistines were cheering him on. I guarantee that when he started to defy the armies of God, I guarantee the Israelites could hear the Philistines cheering their champion on. Come on. It would have been like a football match. The other side. And this side were losing. Have you noticed a football match when you lose it, your side goes quiet? Yeah. Have you noticed the other side cheer? Have you noticed that? That's how this would have been. Not one man had the courage to face this giant, even though there were skilled fighting men in the camp of Israel. Skilled fighting men. But none of them, had the courage to come out against this giant. I have faced giants in my life, apart from the normal skirmishes. And giants can be different things to different people. I've just written a few things down here, and maybe none of these relates to you, but maybe you've got a giant that I've even written about here. Giants can be drugs, alcohol, lack of money, lust, a sickness or an illness, loneliness, unforgiveness, pride, anger, jealousy, gambling, and the list could go on. But those things that I've just read, they can become a giant in your life if you let them. And some of you today are facing a giant. It could be a giant of having a bad marriage or a broken marriage or kids off the rails. It could become a giant. You're a Christian. You love the Lord. You sing the songs we've sang this morning, but some of you are not singing with the same gusto that you had before because you're getting a little bit dismayed because the singing in your life is taunting you, intimidating you, telling you that your God is not strong. This giant said, I defy you Israelites. And David later says, you're defying God by defying them. But that's what the giant does. He wants to defy your stand of Christianity. He wants to defy you having faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to say to you, what is the point in believing in him? Look, you can't conquer me even. You can't overcome this thing. This thing is bigger and greater than you, and it's going to be around forever. Well, I have had giants in my life, and they've come and gone. Hallelujah. They haven't hung around forever. And this giant kept coming and defying the armies of God. You know the story well. David was the younger son of Jesse. He had seven sons. Three of his eldest sons were actually soldiers in this army. Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. They were the eldest brothers of David. David was the youngest in the family. And they were there. His brothers were there. Frightened, intimidated, dismayed. They'd be thinking, what can we do? What is the answer? We could send 20 men down there, but he's defying us. He's saying, send one. It's got to be a one-on-one. And they'd be talking. After 40 days, they would have exhausted everything they could in the natural, how to get rid of this man. And maybe you've exhausted everything. Maybe you've had counsel. Maybe you've been to see people and you've exhausted everything and this thing's still like a giant in your life, intimidating you, coming against you, trying to drag you down, trying to stop you being a Christian. And sometimes maybe you feel like that. Sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you just want to throw it all to one side. I understand where you're coming from. I understand that you get a giant. Some of you right now may not have a giant in your life, but I think some of you have. That's why I feel God's laid this word on my heart. Not all of you, but some of you. And some of you need to listen to this, because if you haven't had one yet, you're going to get one. I didn't get any amens then. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. The devil's going to make sure there's going to be a giant in your life coming against you. Then amazingly, along came this youngest brother, David, who was a shepherd. Now, we don't know his age exactly, but we know he was young. Different commentaries I've read, that they put, some think he could have been as young as 15. Others said maybe 16, 17, and one or two others said maybe 18. But he was a teenager. He was a shepherd. He was not a fighting man. He didn't wield a sword. He didn't wear armor. His brothers were fighters, trained fighters. His father says, Jesse, to David one day, I want you to take some food over to your brothers. Find out how the battle's going. Take this food and leave some of it as well for the others. And so they loaded him up, and he went over with cheese and all sorts of things to the. And when he got there, he gave the provisions to the person who was collecting them, and he was talking and chatting. He was excited. It was the army. The army. He's visiting the army, the Israelite army. And when he gets into the camp, there's sort of a dullness there, this sort of a fear that can be felt. He'd be thinking, what? There's no music. There's no singing. There's no laughter. There's no sharpening up their swords and their daggers. He would have thought, what's going off here? And then as they were talking, the giant came. He heard him. He heard the giant for himself. And he didn't know he'd been doing it for 40 days. So he looks around. He says, who's going to go down and get him? And they, of course, talk to him and say, he's been doing this for a long time. Nobody's prepared to go. And so he starts to question, because Saul had said, if anybody goes, he's going to get a lot of money from me, and I'll give him hand in one of my daughters. He'll become part of the royal family. That was a big offer, wasn't it? Guess what? Nobody took him up. Nobody took him up because they thought, if we go down, we ain't coming back. So they didn't go. And then David actually asked that, what's going to happen if somebody knocks this guy off? And they told him. He said, oh, that's good. That's all right. And his brothers heard him talking about the giant. And they said to him, shut up, get off home where you belong. Who's looking after those few sheep that you're supposed to be looking after? And well, he was doing what his dad had told him to do, come and see them and bring them some food. And he says, what have I done now? Typical siblings, aren't they? David, what have I done now? I haven't done anything wrong. I've just come to bring food, that's all. One of the soldiers heard David over talking, and he went to Saul and said, there's a young guy out here that reckons he could do it. So Saul said, send for him, bring him in. So they brought him into the tent, and they saw he was just a boy. And David, of course, said, yeah, I'll go against him. I'll go against him. David has got no military training at all. He can see all the army in dismay. And what's he doing? Is he dismayed? Is he upset? He's only upset with the Israelites. He's not upset with the Philistines. He's upset with them. Look at them. And so he says to Saul, he told him that while he was looking after sheep, God helped him to stave off a bear and a lion. That's something, isn't it? Anybody here ever had a fight with a lion? Or a bear? David did. David, as a young boy, forged a relationship with God. If you're young, let me tell you, that's the best time to forge a relationship and keep it going all through life. Probably when he was looking after the sheep as a maybe 13, 12, 13, 14-year-old, as he would go out onto the hills around Bethlehem, at night he'd be looking after the sheep, lying on his back, looking up at the stars, thinking about God. It was there, I think, that he wrote a lot of his psalms. He penned a lot of praise. He had a relationship with God. He loved God as a boy. Now he's come to the camp thinking everything's going to be, and it's not good. It's bad for them. So he said, I'll go. And you know the story. He says, Saul said to him, Saul should have said to him, I want to thank you, David. What's your name, David? David, I want to thank you. And I hear you bought some food as well. Thank you. Go back and thank your dad. Big thank you from me. Come on. Off you go. Home. You're only a boy. He didn't. You know what he said? Well, if you're going to face him, you need some armor. He says, put my armor on. Now, Saul was shoulder and head above all the... So he's a tall man. He's probably 6'5". And he puts his armor on David, and David, it would have weighed him. He says, I can't do it. I can't go with this. I can't use these weapons. And Saul would have thought, well, what else are you going to use? He took them off. He said, I can't do this. By the way, let me just tell you something. You don't need any other man's weapons. Do you hear me? Yes. Don't try and be somebody else that you're not. You are you. Yes. And so, would imagine Saul would have said, well, what are you going to use? Have you got something out there? I've got my sling. And I'm going to take a few stones. At that time, if I was Saul, I think I would be feeling so guilty. Dave, hold on. Hold on. Come on. Come on. Home you go. And I would have said to one of my soldiers, come, take this lad home, will you? He's a good lad, but, you know, he's really. He didn't. What a coward Saul was. Go, see what you can do. I like this, because when he came down the valley, the hillside into the valley, the Philistines saw him coming. I thought, oh, they've got somebody at last, good. But then he saw the size of the kid. He's got no armor on. He hasn't got a sword. He hasn't got a sword. He hasn't got a dagger. He hasn't got a bow and arrow. He hasn't got an armor bearer. He's a little kid that's dressed like a shepherd. He's a peasant. He's got nothing. And the giant, as David was coming towards him, the giant got angry. He says, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? He got so angry. And this is what he says, and I like this. It says in chapter 17, verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him. By the way, he put his shield bearer in front of him. So David's got a tank in front of him as well as this great big machine at the back he's got. That's what he says. He's carrying a shield. This guy's carrying a shield that's covering him. And then anyway, that's what he says. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. And that giant, the seven girl you, is going to keep coming closer. He's going to keep on coming. He ain't going to stay away. He's going to keep coming closer. He looked David over and saw he was only a boy. That's what the Bible says. He was not a man. He was a boy. He was a teenager. He looked him over. He was a boy. And it says, ruddy and handsome. That's what the giant thought. This little kid is handsome. And he's ruddy. That means he's got red cheeks. There's not too many Israelite and Jewish people got red cheeks. He got red cheeks. Red English cheeks. I'm only joking. Only joking. But he was good looking. I'm not saying this. They thought. He says, he looked David over and saw he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. Poor David. Just a boy. Come down to have a talk to this giant. He despised him. And let me tell you something now. That giant in your life despises you. I like this first bit because the giant here is representing satanic powers. You understand that, don't you? He's looking at a child of God and a young child of God. He's looking at an Israelite boy, good looking, handsome. That's how he appeared to him. Listen to this now, everybody. Are you listening? You need to hear this. Don't shut off. You are good looking to the devil. Amen. Now you might say, well, did you look in the mirror this morning, John? Well, yes, I did. And I agree with you. I'm not talking about a look in the mirror and see that wonderful reflection. Used to do. Used to look in the mirror and think, wow. But not now. So those days have gone. But you know what I have? The anointing of Jesus within me. I am filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The devil doesn't have that. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm filled with the power of God. I want to tell you, you're looking at a good-looking man. Hallelujah! Because I'm born again. And if you could, but you can't, get a spiritual tin opener, and open me up, you would love what you saw inside. Because the glory of God is within us. Let me quote a scripture. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whoa! Glory to God! That's why the giant hated him, because he was good looking. That's why the devil hates you, because you're anointed and good looking. You're pure, washed in the blood of Jesus. Satan is dirty, filthy, horrible. He's got no anointing. He is one insane maniac of a creature. He's fallen so, so low. And you know what the devil, what Goliath is representing the devil here, said to, he says to David, I'm going to get hold of you. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air and the animals. David looked at him. He says, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. He says, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to cut your head off and feed all the Philistines to the birds and the animals. He was saying, I'll do that to you, David. The whole lot of you are gone. And I got a feeling that as David looked at him and said that, he looked up the hill. He said, I'm going to cut your head off and feed the rest of you to the birds and the animals. At that, he went for his sword. At that, he was going to. And of course, David got his through the stone as quick as possible. And God, that was a guided missile. That's one of those missiles that the Americans are sending to the Ukraine. The guided ones. You know what I mean? Because mostly, a lot of the missiles they've been using are hit and miss. You know, that's what it gets there. Or not over there. Well, when you're slinging a stone, it's a little bit hit and miss. Very hot. You've got to let go at the right moment, the right precise second for it to hit where you want to go. And it hit him on the temple. He stunned him, and he fell to the ground. Great big 9-foot bloke fell to the ground. I wonder if he fell on his armor bearer. But anyway, he fell to the ground. David ran over, grabbed his sword, cut off his head. At that moment, the Israelites shouted. All of a sudden, they were no longer dismayed. All of a sudden, they were no longer terrified. Can you imagine what his brothers would have thought when he walked down there? Eliab, Abinadab, what are you doing, David? What are you doing? It's all right, the king's told me I can go. Dad's going to kill me. When I've got to take your body back, Dad's going to kill me. That's how they would have thought. Wouldn't he, you know, their little brother going down there to fight this giant. I tell you what, I bet you they never lived that down. I bet David had to go at them all the rest of his life. You three up there, I was down there where it mattered. There was a great triumph. There was a great victory. There is only one way to kill that giant in your life. Only one way. And David got it. He didn't say, I've come against you with this. Look at it. By the way, you know the story, he picked up 5 stones? How many of you know, what was the point of that? He'd only have a shot with 1 stone. If that missed, he's gone. You don't have 2 shots. It was quite close to him. But of course, he had his brothers. He had 4 brothers who were also giants, big guys. And I think that was symbolic, don't you? He gathered 5, as if to say, it's not just you that's going, it's your brothers as well, defying the armies of God. And David got angry about something. He says to the giant, you have defied the armies of God. So he stood there. Let's say he's 16, 17. He stood there as a 16, 17-year-old boy without any training in warfare, looking at this 9-foot guy, this ugly guy, looking at him and saying, you are defying my God, and I'm not going to put up with that. I'm ad-libbing that, but that's what he was saying. I ain't putting up with that. I just like to think of that moment in time, what God was thinking. Did God think, David, come on, man, pull back. Pull back. You're only a boy. I've got a plan for you ahead. This isn't the wrong. I think God watched and they'd say to Michael and Gabriel, the angel, come here. Look at this. Take a look at that. And when God heard this little boy defending him, defending God, I reckon God stuck his chest out. This is good. And he thought, that stone's going to go, even if he aims it backward, it's going to go forward. You know, God was on his side. Because he didn't say, I come to you with a sling. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And if you've got a giant in your life, the answer to that is Jesus. He is the name of the Lord. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. When you say Yesu, you say Yahweh is salvation. When you say Jesus, that is the name of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, what is that name? Jesus. You've got him. You've got him. You've got him. You've got Jesus. When all else fails, when counseling fails, when medication fails, when everything around you fails, you got Jesus if you're a Christian. If you're religious, you don't have him. If you're religious, you got ritual. If you're religious, you got a lot of stupid ideas. But if you're born again, you got Jesus, you got everything that you need. Hallelujah. So that you can't take the glory. You can't take the... David did not believe that day it was him that did it. He believed it was God. I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, the God of the armies. I love it. I've nearly finished. Stay with me. The name of Jesus is the most powerful name there is. The name of Jesus is the most comforting name there is. Now, I've used the name of Jesus many times for comfort. I can't tell you how many times I've used the name of Jesus because of my poor wife who's got dementia. And I felt the comforting arms of Jesus over and over again. And she has. And Jesus has answered my prayers. My Julie's doing okay physically. When I went there last week, she saw me and she tried to stand up and I just grabbed her and I pulled her up. She put her arms around me and she says, I love you. She strung three words together that she can't string words together. That made me cry. I get comforted because I know that she's got peace and she's got joy, my Julie. As even though her brain isn't working as it should work, she's got peace and joy. So I know what it is to be comforted by the name of Jesus. I know what it is comforted with the arms of Jesus. I understand that. And you do. I hope you do. I hope you do. I really hope that when you need comfort, if you feel loneliness, and you go to Jesus, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I know that there's an incredible sense of peace, consolation, and comfort in the name of Jesus. But I also know that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is more power than you could ever, ever realize. Jesus said when he rose from the dead, all power. He said, looked at his disciples and he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, because I got all power. And when you need it, it's going to be there. Amen. Amen. He is the most powerful one there is. The whole world will bow their knee to Jesus. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every atheist, every religious person, one day will bow their knee and admit that he is a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There's no one before him and there'll be no one after him. They will all bow to him, Jesus. He is powerful. Satan will bow to him. All the cohorts of Satan will bow to him. Every creature that has ever been given life, every male and female will bow to Jesus. There's 8 billion people on planet Earth today, but how many has there been over the years? Over all the years, everybody will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has power. He has authority. He is a king. And that day has not yet come, but it's coming. But I want to tell you this, I don't have to wait for that day before I bow my knee to him. I've already done it, and you have. Most of you have. If you haven't, you need to. And acknowledge that he is Lord. He is the power that you need. I want to read a scripture from, I've just finished, closing up, from James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then he says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Submit yourselves then to God. Submit to him. Resist the devil, and what will he do? What will he do? Who is that talking about? The devil. Didn't say a demon. Didn't say one of his cohorts. He says the devil himself. The one that people think is he's the Goliath. He's a big one. Resist him. And he will run from you. How many of you know that if Goliath wasn't so stupid, he would have ran? Can I say that again? If Goliath wasn't so stupid, he would have ran. Because he came against the name of God right there was in David. And when he comes against you, he comes against the name of God. And one more scripture before we close from 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So we're all going through those sufferings, but it says, let us stand against him. Resist him. You got a giant? Resist him. You've had disappointment with that giant? Resist him. You say, I've tried everything? Resist him in the name of Jesus. Now, I'll finish with this. I'm being very careful here. When I say the name of Jesus, I don't mean glibly say it. I mean really to yourself say it first. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Start thinking of Jesus. Think of the cross. Think of the resurrection. Jesus, all power is given to you. Jesus, Jesus, Savior, Jesus, Savior. And then you come against that giant in that name that you have brought foremost in your mind and in your heart, not glibly, and say, giant, now whatever that you can name it, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or whatever it may be, finance, loneliness, whatever it may be, sickness, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I curse you. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, get out of my life. Get out of my family's life. Go in the name of Jesus. I believe you've got the authority to do that as a Christian. And if you say, well, I've tried it, it didn't work. Try it again. With a bit more gusto. With a bit more faith. Can you imagine David was standing in front of this giant and he talked like this? You've been defying God's armies, you have. And it's not fair. I just want to tell you, it's not fair. I'm coming against you in God's name, but it's not fair. I believe he shouted. I believe the Philistines heard him. The Israelites heard him. You come against me with your sword and dagger. I come against you in the name of the Lord. I believe he shouted that. He was decisive. He meant it. And God came through. Glory to God. And how many of you know, it had to be God that comes through, because a shepherd boy with a sling ain't going to kill a Goliath. What giant do you have? I don't want to know, because you know it, and God knows it. But I've been given this message, and I believe it's because somebody, or maybe many, have got giants. You've got skirmishes that you know, they'll come and go. But sometimes a giant comes, and he takes center space. You've got to get rid of him. So I want to pray for anybody here before we sing our last song. I want to pray for anybody here who would say to me, I got a giant, I need prayer. I want to pray for you. And what I'm going to pray about is your faith, you see, that you'll get hold of the name of Jesus by faith and use it. Is there anybody here that would say, I could do with a prayer like that? Just raise your hand so I can see it. Quite a lot of you. Okay, very quickly, get up from your seat and come and stand down the front here. It's only going to take a minute. That's all it's going to take. But there's so many of you. I just want, you're making a stand. David made a stand. He came out. He came out from the Philistine, from the Israelite camp. He came out to face the giant. By you coming out here, you'll come right down to the front. Come on. By you coming out here, you're making a stand. That's what you're doing. You are actually physically making a stand against a giant in your life. And God loves that. God sees that right now. So just raise your hands. Everybody that's here, everybody here, if you need to come, you come just now. But we're going to just talk to God right now. Father, you see all these people with their hands raised. The devil's trying to take advantage of them. He's trying to intimidate them. In fact, a lot of the stuff that he's saying, nothing but lies. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a father of lies, and we know that for sure. And so we're going to speak against that giant right now. I pray that every person with their hands raised, Lord, I pray that faith will start to rise. Lord, I believe this morning that I've preached the word of God. I believe that. I've preached from the scriptures. I have preached your word to their hearts and their minds. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe that faith is starting to rise in hearts and minds right now. And so, Lord, we speak right now by faith, and we say, giant, get lost. Giant, you are defeated in the name of Jesus. We come against you in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have the blood of Jesus that's rescued us, that's cleansed us, that's made us whole. And by the power of the blood, we stand here today and we say, Satan, get lost. Satan, go. We resist you. We resist you. We resist you. In the name of Jesus, we resist you. And everybody said, amen. Okay, now I want you all to shout loud now. I want you to shout. You're going to close your eyes, and then you're going to say, in the name of Jesus. I don't want you to speak out loud to that giant, because you may all have different giants. I don't know which one is troubling you, but you do. But I want you to say out loud, in the name of Jesus, and then come against that giant in your life, but do it in your heart. Don't speak it out loud, but speak out loud in the name of Jesus. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. After two, we're going to say, in the name of Jesus. One, two. In the name of Jesus. Now a word of praise to our God. Come on, let's thank him. Let's praise him. Let's exalt him. Let's glorify his name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be